Now, you would think, Roger, you would think if you knew the Guadalupe River was flood prone, you maybe wouldn't build a summer camp there.
It's notorious. Has been for decades, centuries, and probably millennia.
Yeah. A lot of conspiracy theories. Maybe it's geoengineering. Maybe it's cloud seeding. Why is this happening? And the answer is because it happens.
Yeah.
There's a history of it. And yet, for some crazy reason, they keep building summer camps along the banks of the Guadalupe. 1987.
Well, they keep building New Orleans on the...
well, there is that.
It's the Barrier Islands.
1987, Comfort, Texas, which is in the county right next to Kerr.
Yeah.
It's not too many miles away. Christian Camp is completely destroyed in the flood. This is literally eerily the same story.
Yep.
Take a listen. This is, again, 1987. This is the coverage of it.
87.
On Friday morning, July 17th, 1987, the small town of Comfort, Texas, became the scene of a heroic rescue and tragic loss. Much of the footage you will see was taped on that day by the banks of the Guadalupe River.
It was the day they were supposed to go home. The more than 300 children at the church camp were awakened early. The river was flooding. If they didn't leave soon, their buses might not be able to leave at all.
And they come in there rushing us up and everything. Tell us, get up, get packed, and all this stuff. And everybody was asking why. They said we got to get out of here because the river was flowing over.
I mean, we started going around the corner. We would go down the hill, then water started coming in the bus and stuff. We tried to back up, but then the bus got stuck, so they made all of us get out of the bus.
And that's whenever the first wave hit us and started scattering people to different trees.
Kids clinging onto the, you know, the trees like ants, surrounded by rushing water. Chris Ray was the first to be rescued.
You should see this.
How many are there of you?
They actually show footage, Roger.
Wow, you can just, you can just about see it in your mind.
Yeah, they're clinging to the trees. The images are exactly the same. They get hit with a sudden wall of water. The flooding starts. They can see that. They're trying to get in the bus. And then just like this time, same thing. 26-foot wall of water. Same thing happened back then, too. Here's from that time, Guadalupe River, Comfort, Texas this time, very close by.
Yeah.
July 17th, 1987. Rescuers worked to airlift teenagers trapped in trees after a wall of water washed them away. It happened when a caravan of buses attempted to escape from a church camp through a low water crossing after a overnight storm.
Good night.
When the bus stalled, they formed a human chain to try to walk out, only to have a wall of water scatter them into the raging river. You should see the video there. They wouldn't today show this kind of thing on TV, I don't think, but there's a 14-year-old girl. They try repeatedly to rescue her. She's in the water. She grabs the rope, but she can't hold on. She's too tired, and you see her swept away.
Yeah, they'll blur that.
She died.
Yeah, they'll blur that. Yep.
And it was heroic because they told the rescuers, listen, we're going to drop you from these helicopters. They're hanging on to these ropes, and they say, if you become tangled in the trees, you're on your own. We're going to have to cut you loose. And they went down for them anyway.
Yeah.
Wow. 300 children were wiped away, washed away. Incredibly, they saved them all but 10.
And
so,
of course, there were stories of heroism in this latest disaster as well. Yeah.
So, you know, the idea of, hey, maybe we should have camps on the banks of the Guadalupe where we are practically feeding children to the river. If we do, maybe some sort of, you know, air horn warning system since these floods seem to come in the middle of the night. It's just incredible that this has happened before and we did not have that.
And they don't call them flash floods for nothing, you know.
No, they don't. And so, you know, the idea that Donald Trump is somehow responsible for this is just bizarre. And Caroline Leavitt went scorched earth, his spokesperson yesterday, and she should have. I mean, this is disgusting to tell the lies that the media is telling. And look, they should know better. I mean, here's George Stephanopoulos, right? Fresh from the $16 million libel payout judgment.
All right, here we go.
To Donald Trump for lying and libeling him.
Yep.
And he does it again.
Maria, we're also learning that there were significant staffing shortfalls at the National Weather Service's offices in the region.
Shortfalls. Whatever does that supposed to mean, anyway?
Okay, most of those cuts won't even take place till October. George doesn't mention that.
Right, yeah.
And that office, according to the Associated Press, they released a statement, no, we were overstaffed. We're always overstaffed for emergency events. Mm-hmm. They were overstaffed that day. They added four extra staff members. They had way more than they normally did. Cuts didn't affect them at all.
Yeah, and the twisted irony is how the administration is actually working feverishly to upgrade literally antiquated technology in the National Weather Service.
It's very frustrating, but it's going to happen again. I mean, so, you know, I mean, there's nothing, whoever's president doesn't have an effect on that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Roger, the Epstein weirdness, it's really weird. Did you see what a member of the Trump administration told the Rolling Stone?
Yes.
Quote, yeah. They're gonna be so mad. This is the headline. Trump administration braces for MAGA revolt over Epstein memo. They're gonna be so mad.
So mad, yeah.
But, hey, no, what Johns? Johns, no, there were no Johns. You did not see all the most famous people in the world on the Epstein plane. You thought you did, but you did not. They were not there, and they didn't fly to Little St. John Island. They didn't at all, even though you saw them on that plane there flying to Little St. John Island like Bill Clinton over and over and over and over again. But it didn't happen. So anyway, okay, here's the problem. When you tell a lie this big, Roger, and that's what they're doing, Pam Bondi, for whatever reason, Dan Bongino, Cash Patel, when you tell a lie this big, you can't cover all the threads of it. Let me give you an example, okay? Jim Hoft, the Gateway pundit, sued. This was after the Ghislaine Maxwell case, sued to open the files to find out who the Johns were, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's been going on since 2022.
Yeah, 22.
Okay. Now, here's where it gets weird. They wanted the men and the women's names with whom Epstein traded sex with minors for favors or money or both.
Mm-hmm.
At the time in 2022, no other media outlet in the country had petitioned the court to unseal the identities of Epstein's clients. It was almost like the corporate media was protecting the disgusting sexual predators, Jim Hoff writes yesterday. But listen to this. Back in July 2022, the Gateway pundit lawyers Mark Randazza and Jay Woolman of the Randazza Legal Group, along with GP General Counsel John Burns, filed a motion to intervene in Guffrey versus Maxwell case, United States District Court of New York. But they were blocked from getting the records, from unsealing the records. And why was that? An anonymous John Doe, literally styled by his lawyer as John Doe, filed an objection to the Gateway pundit unsealing the sex client list.
Okay. John Doe, of course.
John Doe?
Yeah.
Was on it.
Of course.
He was on it. And he was not Jeffrey Epstein because Jeffrey's dead.
Yeah.
He either did or did not kill himself. So regardless, we all agree he's dead, right?
Yeah.
So if we are told that the only John, all of these thousands of girls, they were sex trafficked only to Jeffrey Epstein, who's this guy?
Yep.
And if an anonymous John Doe filed something in court.
Yeah, there should be a record somewhere.
To keep his own name hidden. And the court sided with the John Doe, who literally was a pedophile John, over the interests of the press and the public. Where is he?
Yeah.
I thought he wasn't there. What possible reason could John Doe have for not wanting the Epstein sex client list exposed? By the way, Roger.
Hello.
I miss Lee. I wasn't right yesterday going home. I was like,
So do I. Every time the alarm goes off at 3:30 a.m.
Yeah, I know, really. He'll be back, though. He'll be back next week. Every once in a while, I call my husband Lee, and I call Lee by my husband's name. It's weird. He's my work husband. So here's the really weird thing, okay? He's like my dad, really, more, but don't tell him that. It'll make him feel old. We'll just call him my work husband.
Ouch.
Oh, but he's not here. It doesn't matter. Okay, no one will tell him. So anyway, this is just me and you talking. So anyways, so the court sided with the John Doe, right? Yeah. Over the interest of the public in keeping the Epstein sex client list sealed. In other words, the court admitted it existed. And so this morning, everybody should read this article. So it's Jim Hoft over at the Gateway Pundit. It's a great investigative operation. Here's the headline. Wait, what? If there was no Epstein client list, then why did New York courts refuse the Gateway Pundit's legal request for the list based on anonymous John Doe, who was on the list? Wow. He filed a motion.
Well, here's another possibility. You know, a lot of people are put in the ground all the time under the name John Doe.
Yeah. So these are the threads that when you tell a lie, the size of the lie, the Bongino and Bondi and Cash Patel
can't cover it up.
Yeah, they can't cover it up. There's too many pieces of it. Yeah. It's too big. It's too wide.
Somebody's going to cave. Yeah.
I don't know. The JFK stuff hasn't leaked. Not all of it anyway. Well. If you just wait 62 years, we'll know. You got plans to live that long?
I'm working on it.
Yeah, me too.